When we start talking about the greatness of the church, let's look at Luke chapter 2. We're going to talk about the business of a great church. Luke chapter 2, verse, I believe, right around 42. Talk about the business of a great church. I was talking to the young people today in class, and, you know, if we're going to do something, if we sign up to do something, we want to be great at it. We want to be as good as we could possibly be. And I was talking to Jill about being a pitcher. I said, you just don't want to be an average pitcher. You want to be the greatest pitcher that ever pitched for whatever school you're pitching for. And it takes work to be great.
Amen.
It takes work to be great. Jesus, Luke 2, chapter 42, it says, I'm looking for 41. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they saw him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. Precious Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the child Jesus, and we thank you for the man Jesus, and we thank you for God, who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die for our sins, that we that believe, and I pray that we all here believe, so we will not have to end up in eternal damnation. We thank you for the business of the church. We thank you for the business that we're called to do. And we ask that this message today, Father God, will just remind us of why we are called to be children of God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen. 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 A longer text than I normally read, but I couldn't read just a piece of that. But when we talk about Jesus and a lot of it, and again, you guys know I couldn't preach all that in 1 hour, wouldn't even attempt to. But I thought something that was really interesting, and when I looked at it, it said they saw him sorrowing. They had went a day's journey without Jesus, and we can put that in a lot of ways. And there are a whole lot of folks that are Christians that have gone a long way without Jesus and lived a long time without Jesus and really don't know if Jesus is with them as we even speak today. Is Jesus with you? But I'm not going to go there neither. I want to talk about this business. I want to talk about the business of a great church. Jesus had a business to take care of, and it was his Father's business. And he said, I must. That word must, that's emphatic. That means it's the only thing I came to do. He said, I must be about my Father's business. And if we're children of God, and the things that Jesus found to be his business ought to be our business, people of God. The apostles, when they were building the church and the church was doing great things, then problems arose in the church. The apostles got together and told the disciples, he said this in Acts 6 and 3. He said, wherefore, brethren, look out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may what? Appoint over this business. See, there's a business in the church that we need to make sure we take care of. Paul speaking in 1 Thessalonians, folks were scattered. They was, we call it today, and they was everywhere. They was doing other folks' stuff, gossiping and backbiting. All that kind of stuff was going on. The church doesn't change. Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4:11 says that you study to be quiet and to do your own business. There's a business that each one of us are called to do. Amen. All of us have a business. If you don't know what it is, then you know you have needs. You have needs. God's so wonderful in creating us. He gave us needs. Okay? K-N-E-E. And he gave us needs. So if we are ever confused about what our business is, we get down on our knees and say, Father, what's my business? Because everybody not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And sometimes you can bite off more than you can chew. Sometimes you might be doing something you ought not to be doing, or God ain't called you to do it. You're just doing it instead of you saying, you know what, I need to step down from that and maybe ask God, maybe take a sabbatical and ask God what I need to really be doing. Because Amen. What I'm doing, I'm not doing good. See, God ain't going to call you to do nothing and you're not good at it. Yeah, I'm making sense, Mr. Brian. Amen. God's not going to call us to do anything that we're not good at. God's not going to call us to do anything that we don't have a great desire to do. Okay? That we don't have a great motivation to do. And if He calls us to do it, He's going to equip us to do it. Okay? So if you doing something and you're not, it's not wonderful to you, and you're not enthusiastic about doing it, then God probably not called you to do it.
Amen.
Pastor, that's just the way it is. Amen. God calls to do something. He's going to equip us to do it. And if God is to equip you to do something, you're going to be good at it.
Amen.
Okay. And when I say good, I don't mean good in the people's eyes.
Right. Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
See, some of us natural people pleasers. But when God calls you to do something, he's going to do it, and God's going to be satisfied with it.
Amen.
What are you talking about, Pastor? Listen. Look at, turn to John 10. This is interesting here. See, we're called to do God's work. If God has called us, within Ephesians 6 and 10 that we are created, 2 and 10, we are created His what? Workmanship. Created unto to do what? Good works. Not bad works. Good works. So when we look at John 10 in verse 34, and I'm going to read it all, just Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law? I said ye are gods. And if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken." Now watch this now. "Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent unto the world, thou blasphemest." Why? "Because I said I am the Son of God." Wait a minute now. Okay? Wait a minute. This is the verse here. "If I do not the works of my Father," now, believe me not. That applies to all of us. If we're out here saying we are people of God, children of God, sons of God, Christian, believers, whatever, and if we're not doing the works of the Father, the world has no right to believe us. If I'm not living a good and godly life, if I'm not growing in the faith, if I'm not loving the unlovable, if I'm not teaching the unteachable, if I'm not reaching out to the lost, if the fruits of the Spirit aren't evident in the child of God's life, then you don't have no reason to listen to me or any Christian. If somebody comes to you and talking about the Lord, and this has happened to all of us, and they living despicable lives, and they talking to you about things of God, you look at them like, seriously? Seriously? See, the fruits of the Spirit ought to be evident in the person who says, "I'm doing the Father's work." You can't do the Father's work without the fruits of the Spirit working in your life. You can't love nobody for the fruits of the Spirit. What? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You got to have those. You're going out here trying to minister to people. See? And it comes with a price. Listen, it ain't always fun. See, we got this entertainment syndrome that has come into the church, and ministry has to be fun. Not fun. Come on, Paula. This ain't fun. It ain't fun. Well, turn to Mark 10. Please. Turn to Mark 10. See, we got this whole ministry fun. And I gotta go to the fun church. And it's got to be fun. And life ain't fun. Okay? Now, I'm not saying we ought not have fun. I have fun. I love to laugh and mess with folks. Y'all know I'm fun-loving. But when you get down to it, it ain't always 24-7 fun. And it wasn't always fun to Jesus. Don't sit here and let nobody tell you Jesus didn't have fun. Because he said it in Hebrews, for the joy. Okay? He had a good time going to the cross. Don't think nobody tell you, Jesus, they dragged him to the cross. No, they didn't. They didn't drag him to the cross. He came to die. He understood the call. Look at Mark 10. Listen, watch this now. Because see, some of us, I ain't no fun. People won't come here. I got family members in. They ain't coming here because we don't have fun church. Baptist folks. All y'all do is preach an hour. We have fun. Good time. I'm having a good time. Amen. I mean, since God called me to pastor this church here, it's been the greatest time of my life. Cindy and I have had a ball. But it ain't always fun. Here's Jesus talking. In Mark 10. Let's go back to verse 32. Then we'll talk about fun. Because ministry ain't always fun if we follow Christ. Now, if you follow somebody else, you might have fun. Father Fun or Bishop Joy. Jesus said this in Mark 10:32. "And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus went before them. Now he in front. Don't forget that. He's out front. You know, you just usually if it was me, I'm heading to the cross to be crucified, I'm gonna be in the back. Okay, I'm be like, let me think about this. That's just normal. That's just normal. That's why we would have been bad substitutes. Couldn't do it. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. Well, you know, we couldn't do it. First of all, we were sinners and we were sinful. We couldn't die for the sins of the world, but we wouldn't have went. Nobody would say, okay, I'm gonna die for y'all. None of us would have did it. We would have changed our mind. And they were on the way. They were in the way into Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them. That's something. You know why? And they were amazed. Who was amazed? The apostles and the folks that was with Jesus. They were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him. And why is he telling them? He said, if you follow me, there's a real good likelihood, possibility that some of these same things are going to happen to you. And I get so sick and tired of Christians when they start going through it, start loosening their boots. We've been appointed to suffer. Watch Jesus now. He's our follower. He's who we are following. He's who we are following. And now we follow a man that's radical, that's a rebel. Then we better get our rebel stuff off. Because what happened to him, likely it's going to happen to us. He said that they hated me. Okay? Watch what happens here. I get all tied up, just collar real tight today. And they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him. He could have substituted them too, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the priests. Shall be. There's no getting out of this. He wasn't trying to get out of it either, because he's up front. And they shall condemn him. Did I miss something? They shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, the Romans. And they shall mock him and scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him. Now this is the key. Now we talked about this this morning. This is the key. There ain't nothing wrong with dying if you gonna rise again. Amen. The only problem with dying is when you stay down. Amen. Okay? Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with dying. I don't want none of y'all to fear dying. I mean, you only gotta do it once. I know it's scary now. But the only real problem with dying is that you don't rise again. Alright? Listen. In the third day, he should rise again. So you don't follow his word. You're going to battle with him. You're going to suffer. You're going to suffer. Look at, let me read that verse to you. I like to support it. Look at John 5 and 18. I just want to read it because I think it's important. John 5 and 18. I know what it says. It's the one about being hated. Because see, you got to go through this. You got to go through some hate. You got to go through some scorn and some ridicule. You might get spit on. It's going to get tough for the believer. And as the world, as it evolves, it's going to be tough. Okay? It's going to be tough. And I think I got the wrong scripture. But don't mind me. It may pop to me later on. Let's keep going. I don't have the scripture that I wanted. But we know that what it says, they hated me without a cause. And they're going to hate you. You know what else we're called to do? We're called to proclaim the Lord's work. We're called to proclaim, to declare, to preach the words of God. And you know what it's hard to do? If you don't study your Bible. If you don't come to services. I don't mean to talk about coming to services. I don't mean to talk about coming to Bible study. I'm talking about coming to Bible study. Coming to Bible studies and even choir rehearsals are a great opportunity to learn about the Lord. Because the songs that we sing ought to glorify Him. They ought to lift Him up. And if you got young people in the choir, Mary, some of you guys that work in the choir, explain to the young folk what they singing. Explain to them. Okay? And if the song too big, then listen, sing something else. You can, it's hard to sing songs you don't understand. Okay? And then it's really hard to sing songs when folks ain't seeing that song. That's to me, that's important. And I get on Claire all the time about it. Because it's biblical. Let me show you why it's biblical. We are to proclaim the words of God. And if I got a problem, me and Cindy got problem, and we at war, and we going through it. Y'all want to hear me talk about love? Well, my wife got black eye. Or she's not even here. She going to another church. How am I going to sit here and talk to y'all about having marriage and love your wife? Because y'all going to be turning around like, what the heck you talking about? Okay. I can't do this without her. A lot of preachers try. That's a bad way to be. I don't want to be no preacher single. Alright? Dating. No. I don't want to be no dating pastor. Okay? If something happened to Cindy, I might get married the next day if I want to get married. Can't be pastor and dating. Dating deacons and dating ministers and stuff. Watch this. Watch this now. I got away from it. Here's the verse. I touched it last week, but then I read it some more, and then I'm like, is that a misprint? Is that a misprint? I'm in Psalms 40. Are y'all there? Psalms 40, 1 through 3. Because I preached this last week, but then I look over again. You know, I used to think Thursdays was the worst day of the week for a preacher. But now I'm finding out Monday is. Because Monday, you know, Satan come. You know, he don't bother me on Thursday too much like he used to. Now he comes on Monday. You know, you jacked that all the way up. You messed that sermon up. You ain't had nothing to say. You got to prepare better. I mean, and he do everything he can to make a preacher feel like. That's why I used to wonder why preachers took off Mondays. They used to take off Mondays. To me, that's more reason to work. You know, Satan get you alone. Look at Psalms 40 and 40. I'm gonna look at verse number 3, but I got to read it all to get to verse 3. Because it's important. It's important because I can't preach it if y'all can't see it. No, I'm not sitting there saying I got to be, you know, infallible and perfect. I'm not. That's not what I'm saying. I hope none of y'all believe that. But you got to see some evidence of Christ. Okay? Since if I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry, understood what I was crying about, and He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. Not just a pit, but a horrible pit. God, you know why? You know what made that pit horrible? There was other folks down there too. There was other folks down there and it rained in the mud out of the miry clay. Now what David said, I could have got out of here on my own. There's no way every time I tried to move, I'd slip and fall. Hey brother, anybody else feeling like that? Columbus, you know what I'm talking about? You know, I've been there. Just listen, I wouldn't get out of this myself. I need the power of God to come down in that pit. Okay? See, that's different between Jesus. He get down that pit with us. And say, come on up out, get on my back. Because the world is going to keep you in that pit. Your godly friends, you know, demonic, satanic friends, they want you in that pit. Come on, man, don't leave the pit. It's cool down here. Watch this now. Out of the miry clay, He set my feet upon a rock. I covered that last week. That rock, you know, something, you got some traction. You got something to hold on to. So you can't even climb no smooth mountain. And he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I like that. He established me. Now watch this now. I thought this was a misprint. Not really, I understand that. And he had put a new song in my mouth. Okay? Put a new song in my mouth. Watch this now. Even praise unto our God. Now watch this. And many shall see it. That's kind of a little play on words, ain't it? You singing, but folks ain't hearing what you're saying. They seeing the vessel that it's coming out of. Mary, you understand what I'm saying? So they're not, it's not so much they hear what you're saying, but they seeing you. And many shall see it and fear. You know why? Because salvation is scary to the lost world. Amen. See? When Lazarus came out of that tomb, and the word of God said he sat with Jesus. And this was different here, because many people came not to see Jesus, but to see Lazarus, whom God raised from the dead. Listen, when you come out of that horrible pit and out of that miry clay, that's a picture of you being dead in your trespasses and sin. Now, the world looking at you like they looked at Lazarus. This man was dead. This woman was dead. And now she had come along and God had put a new song in her mouth. And they looking at you like, whoa. Whoa. And you know what you'll be saying? What he did for me, he could do for you. But if he ain't done nothing for you, you can't sing that song. And keep that song away from you. Oh, Lord have mercy. Are we proclaiming the word of God? Are we proclaiming God's word? Because God has given us the word. Look at John 17:8 says, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me." Jesus talked about his disciples, and he said, the words that God has given me, he's given them. See? This is why it's so important that the preach the word of God. I ain't got no other message. Okay? "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them." People of God, born again, blood bought believers, Christian folks have received the word of God. They received the word of God. And have, excuse me, watch this, and have known. There's a big word, known. Surely that I came out from thee. They have known. That word known means they have heard it. They have understood it. They have examined it. There's a little more to that word known than just understand. They have examined it. They have taken a personal evaluation of what has been taught them and how to apply it and whether they should or not. He talked about the Berean church, the Bible. Paul said the Bereans were what? More noble than the Thessalonians. Why? Because they studied what Paul said and they asked questions. They checked it out. Watch this now. "And they have known surely that thou..." Excuse me. "They have known surely that I came out from thee." Now watch this now. This is key. "And they have believed." I can stop there. "And they have believed that thou did send me." And I ain't going to do what I did in Sunday school. Because they hit it hard. Ray hit it hard. I'm like, what did they believe? What did they remember? And you know, Ray said, John 3:16. That's what they remember. Hey, I'll tell you something. You got to believe John 3:16. And you know what John is, God is saying here right now? "They have believed that thou did send me." You go to hell. Not believing John 3:16. All right? LOF, lake of fire. "And they have believed, and they have believed that thou did send me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So I talked to the young people this morning. Somebody said, well, what's a Christian? Someone that believes. Believe what? John 3:16. And you out the door, you done. You believe John 3:16. Do you believe John 3:16? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the grave? What else we gotta do? And this, when you start preaching, you know, every sermon comes to like a little turning point where, you know, just the scripture just blows up the whole thing. I got there yesterday while I was at the play. I was studying the whole time. The city was like, you wouldn't even pay attention? Yes, I was. I love this play. But I had this with me. I'm not audio. I mean, excuse me, I'm not visual, I'm audio, so I could do that. I could study it still here. You know, we're called to carry out the Father's will. We start talking about the business of the church. We're going to be a great church. We got a great business, and the business is to carry out the Father's will. I like that. Here's what Jesus said. He said, saying, 2:42. Father, I'm in Luke 22:42, excuse me. If thou be willing, y'all know this verse, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will. Okay? But thine be done. Well, you know what? The child of God has got the stuff, got the right stuff, embraces that. It's not my will. Okay? See, every preacher has to preach God's will.
Amen.
Not my will. Because if it's my will, listen, I'm going to tell you something. We be having a good time up here. Y'all know I'm a character. Alright? It's not my will. See, the quality of a good preacher is he going to preach the Father's will whether they like it or not.
Amen.
Okay? See, a lot of folks are left here. They come here, hear the word of God. I don't like this.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Y'all preaching too much Father's will here.
Uh-huh.
I'm going somewhere where they ain't preaching the Father's will. Because I want to preach. You know what I mean? And folks want to come in here and do stuff that ain't God's will.
That's right.
And they're not going to be comfortable here. Oh, that's too much. You know, that's too much. I hear stuff. I listen. You know. I ain't coming there. Y'all teach Bible thumpers, teetotalers. Y'all don't believe in this. Y'all don't believe in that. No, it's not that we don't believe in any of it. We just believe in the Word of God.
Amen.
I hear that. Oh, y'all don't believe in that. Oh, y'all don't believe in this. Oh, y'all don't do this. Oh, y'all don't do that. Find it in the Bible and we'll do it.
Uh-huh.
That makes sense.
Amen.
Oh.
Amen.
Oh, goodness. Let me tell you something. We need some soldiers. Jesus was a warrior. Okay? Jesus was a warrior. He was a soldier. He was combat ready. You know what? I've been working in corrections, and we get these guys in that was in the Marines, old Marine guys, Army guys. Man, listen, let me tell you something. You ain't breaking them. They come in that prison, man. Listen, let me tell you something. It's the good guys and the bad guys. That's it. That's it, man. They come in there, and, you know, the inmate is the bad guy, and we the good guys. It ain't always wrong. Okay? But my point ain't, it's not so much that. They just been indoctrinated to do things a certain way. Okay?
Amen.
And the Word of God said they're steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now watch this now. Once I went here, this is where I'm just going to rest my hat, because when I went to 2 Timothy chapter 2, please go there, please. I'm gonna take my time, because you have to stay here with me, because this is where we're gonna finish this sermon out. Because when you start talking about the business of the church, you need some warriors to do it. You can't, you know, so everybody can't do God's word. Okay, the Word of God needs some to preach the Word of God, to teach the Word of God, to be men and women of God. You gotta be a warrior. Okay, now not thy will, but God's will. Amen. Listen. verse number 2, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Y'all with me? Stay with me. This ain't gonna hurt too bad. I thought this was interesting. I'm there. Thou, therefore, 2 Timothy 2:1, my son, my daughter, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Okay? Okay? Faithful men. Faithful men are radical. Faithful men are warriors. Faithful men are determined. Faithful men have a relationship with that commander. You look at some of these football teams that's playing now. Some of these folks, they love their head coach. For a lot of reasons, because if something happens to the head coach, they may be out of it too. But there's a commitment there. There's a relationship there. Okay? Watch this. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, y'all know the verse. I say unto thee, except a man be what? Born again. He cannot see the kingdom of heaven. That born again implies what? Relationship. If you're not born again, you do not have a relationship with the Father. Okay? You know, I say it all the time, and people, you know, y'all heard me say it all the time. They go, well, I'm going to pray for you. Not the first question I ask them. Who are you praying to? God. I said, what God? And you know, the common answer, there ain't one God. And I said, no, there's many gods. Okay, the God I want you to pray to me for is the God that has a son named Jesus, who was born of a virgin, who lived 33 and a half years sinlessly, and was crucified on the cross and buried, and on the third day rose again, and now sits at the right hand of the Father. Now I'm sitting here like, how do I get that out to him? Then they said, well, you know, they may hit me with a little, well, you know what I meant. Now I don't know what you meant. I want to make sure, though. I need prayer. Okay, but I don't need you praying to the Allah. I don't need you praying to the Rastafarian God. I don't need you praying to some bougie God. Am I making sense? I know I am. Because you have to have the right relationship to pray with to the right God.
Amen.
See? I said it a couple of weeks ago. I was preaching, you got to have the right policy number. You call your policy and they want the right number. One number can throw it all off. They're going to say, can you repeat that? See? That's why they go now. They make sure you have it. They say, A as in apple, B as in boy, G as in golf, D as in dog. See, they want to make sure, because if you have the wrong policy, you're not getting covered.
Amen.
Okay? Now, so when I said the policy 289, y'all know what I meant. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, that any man should boast. Listen, it implies that you are a follower of God. You are a follower of God. You know what else is? You understand the rule. You understand that God is in control.
Amen.
Okay? You're not in control. Now get up here doing what you want to do. You're not gonna say what you want to say. You're not gonna teach what you want to teach. You're not gonna tear pages out of your Bible because you don't agree with them. Okay, I was speaking to a group of volunteers on this week, and I was just talking about, you know, the system. The system that we're in is a godless system. Covered and filled with homosexuals and lesbians and all that. They're making the rules. And godless people, the woman say, well, you know, well, all homosexuals ain't godless. And I say, all homosexuals are godless. They don't want to lay away. Well, you know, her daughter's a lesbian. Let me tell you something. And I told her the same thing. Just because your daughter's a lesbian, don't change the word of God.
Amen.
Okay? I got homosexuals and lesbians in my family loving to death. But when they leave here, the relationship is over.
Amen.
And they're not going on to glory. How do you know that, Pastor? Because the word of God. So not going to be no homosexuals in heaven. Okay? I know all of us in here got homosexuals and lesbians in our family. Okay? If you don't, they're in the closet. All right? They're not going to get to heaven because you think that homosexuality is not a sin. It's a sin.
Amen.
Okay? And according to 1 Corinthians 6:9, there will be no homosexuality in heaven. Okay?
Amen.
And if that's not the case, then God owes Sodom and Gomorrah a big apology.
Uh-huh.
But people are, you know, you got to be faithful to the Scriptures. I have to be faithful to the Scriptures.
Amen.
Okay? Now, I don't know where she took that. But see, the Bible says, yes, but the man of God need to be steadfast, unmovable. Okay? Yeah. People not going to hear it. I say it all the time. Not going to get saved unless you confront. And the homosexual needs the same thing I needed. Okay? The homosexual needs the same, the liar, the fornicator, the adulterer, needs the same thing I need.
Amen.
Need to be born again.
Amen.
Okay? You can sit here and talk all the stuff they want. Now, the only way a homosexual will get to heaven, they have to be a born-again homosexual. Okay? It'd be like Rahab. She never dropped that name. She was a harlot. Rahab the harlot. She in heaven. Not in heaven. She didn't die a harlot. She didn't die a harlot. She died a saint. Homosexual, get to heaven. But if the preachers ain't faithful, and the men and women of God, and the congregation is hearing the word of God, and you're scared. You know, you're scared. Don't be so scared that your loved one go to hell because you're scared.
Uh-huh.
Oh, they ain't going to like me.
Uh-huh.
You know? They ain't going to make that red velvet cake for me no more. He's a follower. Jesus was a rebel. They spit on him. And they slammed that thorn on his head. And they nailed him to the cross, not because he was a compromiser.
Amen.
Not because he was a compromiser, because, the nails, are those the nails you're going to use? Maybe I'll change my mind about some things. No. Bring them. Bring the roughest ones. Okay? See, that's the God we serve. He was radical like that. Because I looked at the nails and like, doggy. That's what y'all going to use? And then I'll just throw y'all down the river. I know that. Vernon, ain't that right? You ain't nailing me. What are you, jokers? No, I'm cool. It's just man. That's why God couldn't use a man.
Amen.
To die for our sins.
Amen.
How he know man. He had to come himself. He had to come. Jerry, he had to come himself. In the likeness of sinful flesh. Let me tell you something. A soldier for the Lord knows the strategy of the enemy. They know his plan. See, we know his plan. See, John 10:10. We know his plan. The enemy, Satan, comes to steal and kill and destroy. But I come to what? To give life, and to give life what? More abundantly. We understand 1 Peter 5 and 8 that your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion with walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Wow, we know his approach, we know his tactics, we know his line of attack. Let me tell you something, you're not going to get it watching Fox News or CNN.
Uh-huh.
You're not going to learn the enemy. Well, you may. You may. You may learn the enemy's attack if by watching that, but you will learn it better by becoming handling the Word of God. Handling the Word of God, you'll know the enemy. You'll know when he's in the building. You'll know when he's around. Oh, come on, Pastor. Listen. Listen. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Regardless of the trap. See, some people worry about, what would happen if I get in a situation? Don't worry about no situation. You have, if you're doing God's work, you're not worried about nothing. God will take care of you. You just have to believe that. That's where faith comes in at. See, when you're talking about, I don't know. This may cost me something. Somebody may say, you know what? You've been following Christ all these years. You never said nothing. Remember I tell y'all the story about the man who went to work. He got saved, man. He got saved. He was on fire. Fire. Like. Hot. Went to work. God was placed. Went to work. On fire for the Lord. Heard the word of God. Got saved. Walked into the place and telling everybody, you know, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior last night. I just believe in the Lord. I'm a Christian now. And one of the bosses came up and said, man, listen, I've been a Christian 30 years. See? And the man didn't even know it. The man on fire never knew his boss was a Christian. Never knew his co-worker was a Christian. Never knew his classmate was a Christian. You know, listen, man, that ain't nothing. I've been a Christian 30 years. You got saved last night, you got a lot to learn. Really? No fire. Nothing. And that's not of the church. I sat there and watched that play last night. And I told Sid, I said, you know what? They just really killed the black church. That's all it was. But every time they got in the black church, every time, it was just, No, and it was mocking it. It was just mocking. I mean, he had the white church and they was quiet, and every time the black church started praying, and then, you know, they, speaking in tongues, running around. And I said, see, that's not the world. Look at the church. See, that's not a world. Look at the church.
Yeah.
Isn't that wrong? We not clowns.
Uh-huh.
We not clowns.
Amen.
Come on, Minister Brad.
Amen.
We not clowns.
Amen.
And see, they put me out of the average black church.
Uh-huh.
Just for saying that, we not clowns. Y'all a little clown up here.
Amen.
People want to hear the word of God.
Yeah.
You go somewhere, that's going on. I know some of y'all go to them different churches, and y'all walk in there like, whoa. That's different. Then y'all start thinking about me. The pastor wouldn't do that. Listen, he's a follower. He's faithful. He's familiar. He's familiar. He's familiar with the scriptures. The warrior, the man of God, has got to be familiar with the scriptures. How familiar are you with the scriptures? I like this third one. He's a fighter. I like that. You know one thing about a fighter? Y'all watch Jake come in here after a fight. He all bruised up. You know what happens when you're in a fight? You're going to get hit. Okay? You can have it bad. You can be moving, you know. Ali got bruised up a few times. He was real good at moving around. But when you're in a fight, you're going to get hit. You know what? But that's not the point. You know what he is? A fighter, true fighter. Determined. And this is what I mean when God starts looking for a man or a woman that's going to serve him and get out there on the battlefield willing to die for what they believe. He's looking for someone who's determined. You know, when I say this, there's a whole lot of saints. Church is full of them. You know what? They one incident away from walking away. One incident, one adversity, and they that close to just walking away from the faith. One bad sermon. Let the pastor say one thing. They some saints are sitting there just one service away from walking away.
Uh-huh.
You know, you. See, some of y'all been around in one sermon away from this. I'm done. You know why they don't know why they feel that way? Because they don't have the right stuff.
Amen.
You can't ever be one nothing away from walking away from your faith.
Uh-huh.
Some folks need to leave some of these churches. You can't walk away in front of the Lord. We talk about the church covenant. If you leave this place, you know what? Go somewhere else. If you're saved, you will. Gotta have this. You gotta be determined. Watch this. 1 Timothy 1:19. This is holding faith. This is Paul talking about Alexander and Hymenaeus. They just walked away. Watch this now. Paul says, holding faith. This is something called a holding faith. That's a faith that you want to get a hold of you. See? It ain't you holding it. It's holding you. Okay? It's holding faith in a good conscience. A good conscience. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins, rose from the grave. No, a holding faith in a good conscience. With some having put away concerning faith. Huh? How do you put away concerning faith? You never had it. Or if you did, you had the wrong kind of faith. See, there are people that have word of faith. And they're word of faith. Now, let me say something. If your faith is not based on John 3:16, it's not going to be able to hold you. Okay? A holding faith will hold you. It's going to keep you close to the Word of God. It's going to keep you close to the people of God. It's going to keep you close to the church. A soldier. No, you just don't leave the battlefield on your own terms. You just say, what's that called? Treason? Okay? See, there are a lot of folks committed treason. You know, you can say that God called me. I know you, God called me. And by the evidence of speaking in tongues. What? See, right away, I'm like, that ain't biblical. That's not a biblical calling. Okay? And then they walk away. When emotions, when you talk about the fourth type of seed in the store, planted one seed on hard ground, another seed, the seed on stony ground, another seed on thorny ground. You know? Them thorny ground Christians, that stuff's going to come up and start choking you. Amen. That'll choke you. And then you have them shallow ground ones, they hear a little bit, they ain't heard nothing. They ain't heard a feel-good message pop up, and then as soon as they walk out into the real world and run into some real-world stuff. Okay? See? See, and dealing with some real-world stuff today. Okay? But I guarantee you one thing for certain, two things for sure, that real-world stuff, we all going to deal with some real-world stuff. If that real-world stuff can move you, you ain't had the right stuff. Okay? Ain't gonna come back here, good, bad, or indifferent. And she's gonna start serving.
Amen.
Okay? And she go down there, and the worst thing that can happen is the worst it could be. It's not gonna change her opinion of God. It's not gonna change her love for God. It's not gonna change her desire to want to serve and her faithfulness. It's not gonna change. Let me tell you something. We're gonna go through. We all gonna do some real world stuff. Okay? Well, we always say, Sylvia, you either in trouble, headed for trouble, or just getting out. Just keep on going around. Okay, you never outside of those three. Well, I'm just doing good. I'm on cloud nine. Life is just wonderful. Let me tell you something. You either in trouble, headed for trouble, or just getting out. I haven't leaned. I'm making sense. It is what it is. Okay?
Amen.
Now you there. But you know what? You hold on to the Lord. And you ask God here. You take this scripture here in 1 Timothy 1:19. You say, Lord, my pastor's talking about holding faith. I need that faith. Holding faith. I need a faith that holds me. Because you can't hold yourself. You need a faith that holds you. Not that faith that Hymenaeus and Alexander had, whom I have delivered unto Satan. Why? That they may learn not to blaspheme. What's so dangerous about blaspheming? Because you got people that hear. And folks hear a false message, and their faith is based on a false message. And when that day comes, when judgment day comes, Hebrews 9:27, for it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment, and now you're facing your eternal security on a false message. That's why God says a blasphemer is the worst kind of person. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. What else a blasphemer is? A blasphemer is the person who says they're a Christian and live like a devil. It's not just what you teach, it's how you live. Pastor, y'all gave me too much time today. Let me keep going though. Jeremy said, go on. Jeremy, say that so people can hear it out. Keep on going, preacher. He's a follower. He's a follower. The man of God. We're going to have a great church. The God, purple God, uses a follower. He's an admirer. He's a disciple. He's a learner. He's a believer. All that comes with being a follower. An admirer. I admire the Lord. You got to admire the Lord. You can't follow nobody. You don't admire. Okay? A disciple. A believer. And a learner. He is faithful. He's trustworthy. True. Believable. And dependable. Oh, boy. Who don't need somebody dependable in their life? Need somebody that's trustworthy in their life. Need somebody you can count on. You know, me and Ray had this conversation yesterday after everybody. So I said, let me tell you something. Son, all you have is your word. Okay? Make your word good. Make your word good. When your word is good, now you become faithful and trustworthy and true. I'll be there to get you a 6. My son will be here in 5 minutes because it's 5 to 6. Okay? See? Trustworthy. Trustworthy. Cindy, wake her arm. She don't want to take care of her. Why? Because she know me. See? And I love her. And see, love, he talk about it in class. That's not a noun. It's a verb. Somebody tell you they love you. It means what you love is doing. It's action. He's familiar. I like that. Now we talking about this man of God. And I'm going to get to the last point. I'm going to let y'all go. He's a follower. He's faithful. He's familiar. He's familiar. He's familiar with the scriptures. He's familiar with what goes on around here. He's familiar with how the church operates. He's familiar with. And then he's a fighter. I like that. See, I'm going to fight preachers. I like that stuff. Combative. Warrior. Radical. I like that. More radical you are, probably more I like you. You know? I don't like the little old wimpy, smooth talking preachers. Man, it's driving me crazy. Because I don't see Jesus as that. I don't see somebody going to the cross. Now somebody nailed to it. Being soft.
Amen.
Okay? He's a finisher. He's a finisher. Got resolve, determination, tenacity. He's going to get the job done. He's going to get the job done. Jarvis, when Cream was at the house, we follow wrestling, man. Cream likes some wrestling. We went down and we seen Hulk Hogan and stuff. She's grabbing me and we go see Hulk Hogan. Then one time we got too close. The tickets were too good. When our wrestling career was over, because you know we seen the punches was like this far away, but we was too close to the ring. But a lot of the wrestlers, man, they got finishing moves. I'll be doing some research. The Rock had a move called the Rock Bottom. You know, when you watch the Rock, you know. Then you know the Undertaker was my favorite. The Undertaker, I like the Undertaker. The lights be off. He come in the room, big 7-footer. You know. Then he had the Tombstone Pile Driver. Then how can I do this, Matthew, without talking about Stone Cold? And Stone Cold had the Stunner. See, but see, when Jesus was a finisher, and when we look at men of God, we need some finishers. We need some folks who will stay by the Word of God in these difficult days. See, folks are just bailing out, and they leaving the church, or they finding them a church where they can be entertained, because they're not finishers. They're not finishers. They quit as soon as it gets tough. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. But in the church, when it's going to get tough, the tough get going. They get going out the church. Okay? They're not in it for the long haul. Let me tell you something. When you sign up for this, you ain't signing up for 6 months, a year, 2 years. This is it. This is a lifetime, you know? Got too much stuff left. Let me give you the last one. And I've already covered all this stuff. But just warrior Christian.
has a reason. He has a reason why he does this. And you know what his reason is? I'm talking about the warrior now. The reason why he does this, because he understands fully what God done for him. Okay? This is the only, that's the only incentive you have. You know what, God? I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. And you rescued me. And because you done that, I'm going to serve you all the days of my life. I'm going to serve you all the days of my life. And when it's all said and done, Matthew 5:25, and the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. That's all we owe. That's all we doing right down here. Just a few things. But we serve a God of small things. And I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Listen, that's all I have. That's all I have. We're going to be a great church. We're going to need some warriors. We're going to need some folks that are followers of Christ, not followers of the pastor. Okay? Now we had this lesson. Let me share this. Y'all come to Wednesday night, y'all heard this already, so just bear with me. But we had this lesson. Last Wednesday I taught, whatever I do. You know, John said I'll be doing some of everything. You know. But when you go to the hospital and you have a surgery, okay? Thomas, you was at this lesson, weren't you? You go to the hospital and have a surgery, okay? Mary, you have some surgeries. You know, when you get done with that surgery, that tool that doctor used, the scalpel, what he cut you with? When you come out of that surgery, the doctor, everything went well. Everything was good. Who do you think? Who do you think? Y'all so spiritual. Alright. Before you thank the Lord, or after you thank the Lord, then you thank the doctor, right? You say, doctor, thank you for the surgery. Thank you for doing a good job. You know who you don't thank? You don't thank the scalpel. Okay? When a doctor comes in your room after a successful surgery, you don't say, and tell the scalpel thanks. You just don't. You know what I'm saying? Tell the scalpel thing, because the scalpel is useless if it's not in the hands of the surgeon. Okay? God is the surgeon. All I am and anyone who stands up here or teaches is a scalpel. Okay? And you know what the responsibility of the scalpel is? If there was one, if I had to squeeze out the responsibility of the scalpel, you know what it would be? To stay sharp. And to stay clean and sterile. You don't need no dirty scalpel, because a good surgeon ain't gonna use, because they got the bright light, and he's gonna, that scalpel got stuff on it from last surgery. The scalpel's job is to stay clean and pure and sharp. You can't be used by the surgeon if you're dirty. If you're not sharp. And I say sharp, you gotta be able to handle the scriptures. Try to use a dull knife, cut down something.